coming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your not-so-humble host, Herr Dr. Von Vrilok, master of the phantom frequency and the psionic arts. I bid you welcome. Tonight's podcast, Digital Transparency and the Psionics Imperative. The new digital decade is past. We enter the age of global transparency, or so they say. The old ways cling to winter's chill like a cool spring evening. Oh yes, denial and nostalgia hold us back like thorned vines snagging the cuffs of our clothes. Worn and outdated, and which must, over time, be stripped from our identities. It is not a matter of if we shall, but when we shall arrive at our new home, riding within containers, new containers, for what remnants of our old selves coexist with the new digital self. Set limitations shall be as parameters, which may very well be redivided, and perhaps with the new set of instances which drive life, and more so, consciousness, ever forward. So will the values attributed to our upgraded universe be coherently redefined only when the harmonious vessels of our future selves are declared and what remains of our presumed immutable selves will find the portal to true transcendence unto higher consciousness. Of course, the requirements for a so-called Type 1 civilization will be that of a commitment to cooperative and collaborative efforts, the likes of which have not been seen since the heyday and times of yore, or at least of the legendary continent of Mu. Naturally, there is a flip side to any system, even one implicating transparency and accountability. Yes, like the yin and yang of the Chinese philosophy, our universe hath set in place its own mechanisms, and some of these esoteric components, by the way, their values are indeed literals, ever consistent, constant, with the cosmic plan, which might be unfathomable to man, and indeed unwavering, though the parameters for such, well, for that macroverse, and indeed its microcosm, seem immutable despite our greatest efforts to both the schools of sciences and wizardries. We have arrived at long last to the foothills of a mountain, a threshold, if you will, where the two schools of thought cross into a nexus, and our minds can now peer into this rift of potentials beyond all conceivable possibilities to divine certain truths as to the ultimate advances in human conscience. What we might see within the core of this rift in space-time, peeled apart by conflicting but equally compelling schools of thought, is a new world wherein the pursuit is nearing a climax, whereupon at length the ultimate genius of humanity will become applicable in a coalition for intelligible yet flexible compatibility. Imagine, if you will, a coin where on one side it is positive, all positive, and yet on the flip side all is negative, like the cosmic polarities of fire and ice, but etched into a solid pattern constant in its nature. The stasis of ice is withholding our salvation, yet fire threatens to expel mind into uncertainty, which is the polarity of ice masked, and yet meeting consciousness halfway between passivity and action. Now see in your mind this very same coin, yet spinning on a surface, on its axis, if you will. Yes, on its axis. Is it plus or is it minus? Is the kinetic activity set in motion of a circle, balancing the equation of purpose versus indecisiveness? This and more I shall explore with my listeners tonight. So without further ado, let us begin. Moving forward into the future is all we can ever do. The resilience of the sacred monoliths around the globe are representative of our proud and stubborn ways, but as the universe is still a great teacher with infinite patience, we shall, in the stretch of time, witness the tiny stream dissolve even the greatest of mountains. When this fluid movement of the cosmos is realized, and more importantly, accepted, when you accept this, then and only then shall we reach the levels of awareness beyond the curvature of space, and travel in our vehicles of consciousness beyond the spheres of our familiarity. The real push forward with technological advances in computing and monetary systems is a double-edged sword, as a matter of course. While it may be presented that technologies such as self-sovereign digital identity, or excuse me, technological concepts, and technical realities such as blockchain show a strong potential to stem the opportunities of corruption and, albeit organized crime, so also will our own locks and guards be vulnerable in a cosmic or universal and natural system wherein that nature of the struggles of life are not philosophically embraced, but rather merely regarded as a mechanical mind, or regarded by a mechanical mind, and glimpsed through an empirical lens which may be photosensitive to pure illumination, that is, a light of conscience whose causal essence is the bare truth. At its core, life remains conflict. Therein, this new system lies our advantage for the psionicist. Yes, our stout psionicist. Brothers and sisters, he or she who knows the ultimate truth is armed in the terrible game of life. And make no mistake about it, life is a terrible game. While at the same time, he or she who is cooperative and harmonious in his or her actions within a system knows the potential for prosperity. But an understanding of this independent knowledge is the first necessity for the psionicist to be truly free within the system he or she lives in and operates within. Shedding the old notions about reality is an important first step in this pursuit of psionics, albeit it is paramount. Notions which are deeply rooted in the superstitious corners of religion and now, of course, society's more contemporary mainstream dogma. This same stereotyping of challenging misconceptions also finds its way into the modern-day occult. Oh, yes. For example, I am often inquired about my practices involving necromancy. More specifically, my work, Psionic Necromancy, which, by the way, is available in paperback, and you can also have my newest book, Psionic Splicing, as part of the combo, but only if you purchase before January 2021. Where I find the greatest misunderstanding from the general public in regard to my work in psionic necromancy is the collective belief that to disturb the dead is somehow disrespectful, which, aside from criminal activities like grave robbery, which common sense alone tells us is absurdly lowly and crude, bears no solid roots to reasoning whatsoever. For the record, I do not disturb the graves of those who are dead. There is no need. But alas, as it is, modern man's misconceptions about death yield all manner of unduly accusations about mystics and wizards fondling the dead. That sort of behavior, I assure you, is outside the discipline of psionic. Yes, far from it. The disembodied personalities of those whom have passed from this physical shell are more than willing to consort or commune with the living. The dead are not evil boogeymen, ladies and gentlemen. The dead are not phantom vampires lurking at the threshold between worlds to prey and suck upon the living. Most are eager to assist the living if he or she is earnest and sincere in the pursuit of knowledge, or if the cause is to make changes in the world wherein the dead might be concerned, or of some use. For instance, the work I did to call upon the souls of dead patriots was indeed answered with equal sincerity from the so-called netherworld. And the results have been manifested. As well, my communion with geniuses of history have shed new light upon concepts of psionic wonder, for which prior to my psionic necromancy, I found the subjects of my curiosity very enigmatic and unclear. Much as a reasonable man or woman might find themselves utterly bewildered by a proposed concept such as atomic glue, which was at the time founded on no scientific evidence whatsoever, and yet due to the collective and all that is the body social of fashionably acceptable, found its way into classroom textbooks many years ago. Arriving full circle back to my initial case in point here, the psionicist who is ever an eternal student of conscience and mind over matter must certainly ascertain wherein lie the grounds for building his or her own foundations, whereupon all else his or her curiosities might be discovered, to the utter and complete disregard of unnecessary diversion stemming from the often superficial collective. And that collective, as a distraction to truth, shall ever make every attempt to ensnare the would-be free man or woman in its threaded webs of slogans and wish fantasy. The general public and their politico masters so often attest to as being grand revolutionary visions of humanity as stronger together as a whole, but seem more often than not fail to account for the validity and quality of all its multitude of components. Our aim should be to become self-empowered first. What use is an individual to a group if he or she is not of use to him or herself first? Then we may come to the group. Then shall we watch over the ongoing of societies of which we know from an outsider's perspective, while with respect to its inhibiting flaws, we abide by those laws from which we cannot outright challenge half-cocked and poorly prepared for. Though with psionics we can deter oncoming and often undesirable trends with our magical might and so armed with psionic knowledge. In this way, we are within and yet ever without assimilation to an external and oppressive regime in any form, shape, or size. Yes, I think many of us have experienced all manner of hypocrisy. Those who will vote for those who will take our gun rights away and then later go out and purchase firearms and you know, all manner of stuff that doesn't make sense. You have to let all of that go and just think for yourself. Live for you, for independent knowledge, and get psionically empowered. If you have enjoyed tonight's lecture, please patronize my psionics books, audibles, and perhaps drop by my online psionics laboratory at verloc.com/shop. Thank you for joining me on Planet Verloc tonight, and until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Verloc, signing out.